Dave, I think that must be you, Delaware. I muted and unmuted you. Is that you?
Yeah.
How are you doing tonight?
Okay. On this depriving them of service or service of notice or service of process by returning the documents to the issuer or presenter, the key is you've got to do it, delivery confirmation, but you've got to send a courtesy copy that it's been returned to the issuer, delivery confirmation. You've got to send a courtesy copy to the court clerk. If the court clerk does not know that it's been returned to the issuer or presenter, there's no point.
Okay, that's a good point. It's like anything else that you do, having to do something with the court, you have to notify the other side, correct?
It's just got to be neutral or anonymous.
Right, and that's what you say. It's when you send stuff back, you use their address as the return address, correct?
And do not add stuff. Do not add signatures or dates or comments,
right.
Comments, remarks, nothing else.
Now, what about, as long as I got you on here, quick question. Let's say if somebody is in a case and they're in a lawsuit, they've responded to the lawsuit, and then they get discovery documents, request for discovery and production of documents and everything. Can you do that at that point, or is that a moot point now because you answered the complaint in the beginning?
The Declaration of Independence has not changed. It very clearly says government obtains its just powers with the consent of the governed, and you can discontinue their presumption of your consent at any time. Just discontinue.
Okay. So if you got a case like that, you just go ahead and send the stuff back. It ain't me.
Well, you don't have to say that. In fact,
well, yeah, but that's the essence of it.
Well, it wasn't you, because they never sent it to your state spelled fully out in all lowercase letters with no numbers.
Right.
It was sent to a two-capital-letter fictitious federal zone and a numerical five-digit fictitious federal zone, and you made the mistake of not understanding the distinction between actual fully spelled out state name with no numbers and fiction two-capital-letter and numbered federal zones. You did not know the distinction between those two previous to this call. And once
okay.
People do know the difference, then they can stop committing mail fraud by accepting or retaining mail that is sent to fictitious federal zones, regardless whether two capital letters or numbers.
Right.
What would happen
okay.
then? What would they do?
Well, hang on 1 second, Rachel. A follow-up question on that, Dave. To go back, you obviously, if the person gets those documents from the attorneys, the request for production of documents, interrogatories, and admissions, they send that back to the law firm that sent it to you, and then you send a copy of exactly what to the court, of all the contents that they sent you, or the envelope, or what?
Everything has to be returned to the sender, and you have to keep photocopies of the everything to prove what it was that you did not keep. And you send photocopies of that, everything, with the delivery confirmation to the court clerk. So the court clerk knows everything was returned, delivery confirmation, to the presenter.
Okay. All right.
That's
good.
A proof of no service, no jurisdiction.
Right.
No
okay.
service, no contract, no contract, no controversy. The courts cannot adjudicate because there's no controversy. Contract over which to have a controversy.
Mm-hmm. If there's no controversy, there's no jurisdiction.
And if there's no contract, there's no controversy about a contract to exist.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Thank you. Now, Rachel, you had a quick question for Dave?
Well, yes. I just wondered then what would they do? Would the attorney have to refile and try to reserve you again? And then my second question is, then what you're saying is what I originally was going to go on. My administrative process, the bank defaulted. I did the 1, 2, 3 and defaulted them, recorded it all in the county. But then someone advised on one of these calls that that wouldn't hold up in court, and I couldn't stand on that, that I should go and pursue other avenues.
Dave, did you want to comment on that?
The definition of contract has not altered. The definition of contract is offer, acceptance of that offer, at which point in time a contract arises by operation of law by the acceptance, and the offeror can no longer withdraw the offer. Both parties are immediately bound to specific performance because of the acceptance. So when you return everything that was presented, that's evidence of your non-acceptance and terminates their presumption. They cannot proceed because there is no acceptance, therefore there was and is no contract for there to be a controversy about.
Okay, so then, and I understand that, it makes perfect sense. But then can I also assume that the private process that I did, the 1, 2, 3 private process I did with the bank, and they defaulted, then I can also go in if they, well, I guess if they're calling me in there's a, and I'm returning it, there's not even going to be a thing, a court case. But
if you've deprived them of service, of notice, or service of process upon you by returning everything, there is no jurisdiction. They have to have all three elements of jurisdiction: person, place, and thing. That, in law, that's called in personam, the place is called the venue, and the thing is called the subject matter. That's why when the police pull you over, the three things they have to get before they can issue you a ticket or summons or citation or infraction notice, they have to prove they have the jurisdiction, person, place, and thing. So the first thing they ask you for is the driver's license. You volunteer yourself into their jurisdiction by presenting the evidence. They enter it on their clipboard. Now they know they have the first element of jurisdiction, which is the in personam, because you gave it to them by the driver's license. Then the second thing they ask for is the venue or geographic location. So you self-convict yourself by producing the registration card out of the glove compartment. They enter that on their clipboard. Now they know they have the second element of jurisdiction required. And then they ask you for the third element of jurisdiction, which is the thing or subject matter. They say, where's the proof of insurance? You self-convict yourself by reaching in the glove compartment and producing a little card by Allstate or State Farm or some insurance company, which is prima facie evidence that there is a contract of insurance somewhere in someone's file cabinet someplace. They enter that on their clipboard, and they now have the third element, which is the subject matter, contract of insurance, and all revenue and all insurance is admiralty. So you've just given them the final three keys to their jurisdiction. They've accomplished the person, place, and thing, the in personam, the venue, and the subject matter. Now they know they have the jurisdiction to issue you the ticket or citation or notice of infraction or whatever they call it in your state. And that's the contract.
So you refuse it, you send it back. Are they just going to continue to try to serve you and you just keep sending it back?
Yes. You're not dealing with vulnerable people, so they will continue to send it back to you, and you have to repeat the process. Because if you fail to repeat the process, they presume in law, if they sent it, you got it. They don't care if you crumple it up and retain it in your round circular file called a trash basket. But if you keep it, it's like a child's game of hot potato, hot potato. If you keep it, that's acceptance. If you accept, that's the definition of a contract. If you cannot prove that you did sent it back to the issuer or presenter and have delivery confirmation proof that it was returned to the sender or presenter or issuer, and send a courtesy copy with the delivery confirmation as evidence, send that courtesy copy to the court clerk so the clerk will know that it's been returned to the sender, not accepted. Then the court clerk knows they cannot proceed with their docket or your name on any court action case number.
Okay, one more question. As far as timing goes, I have till Thursday to respond to my court case. Do they have to receive it back before that time, or can I have proof that I mailed it and notify the court before that time?
The sooner the better, because you're dealing with people who are trained in nothing but fraud, and why give them ammunition by dilly-dallying or procrastinating or putting it off?
No, I wouldn't, but...
Well,
why
ask the question? The sooner you do it, the better.
You don't understand. I realize that. I'll do it tomorrow, but they won't get it in the mail by Thursday.
You don't care whether they ever get it. You have to prove to the court clerk is that you didn't keep it. The definition of contract does not say you have to prove the other person got it. The definition of contract says acceptance is, and by the acceptance, the contract arises. If you can prove you did not accept it by returning it, delivery confirmation, and courtesy copy that it was returned to the issuer, courtesy copy to the court clerk, there is no contract.
Gotcha.
Hello, Dave. May I ask you a question? I'm back on. This is Aleem Mohammed.
Okay, well, hang on a second. Dave, did you have anything else that you wanted to say on that?
No, I just wanted to clear up that point, because in your explanation earlier, you did not emphasize the fact that a courtesy copy had to be sent to the court clerk. Otherwise, you're putting your fate in the hands of the presenter or issuer.
Right.
Telling the court clerk for you, and you're not dealing with honorable people, so I would not chance it.
No, that's a very good point. Thank you. It's good to have people know that.
So you say don't make any notations or anything, just copy it
all?
If you do anything, a notation or whatever, that's called doing something that's beneficial to one party or detrimental to another party, and by doing so, you're making appearance. The definition of appearance is if you do anything that's beneficial to one party or detrimental to another party, you are making appearance in the case as a party to the case by entering notations or additions or corrections.
So just copy it as it is, put it in an envelope, and send it back.
No.
Yep.
You return the originals to the original issuer. You keep your copies for you, but you don't send them copies. They didn't send you copies. You've got to return. The word return does not say, you can't, it means turn back. You can't turn back a copy. If somebody gave you something, you can only turn back that item, not a copy of that item.
Basically, what you probably would want to do would be to make two copies of it, and you send the originals back to whoever sent it to you, send one set of copies to the court, and keep the other copies for your record so you know what you did. Right?
Right.
And what's my note to the court going to say? That these items have been returned?
You have 10 final studies tomorrow and Friday.
You don't really need to send a note. But there is wording that we have in the neutral response letter. The main thing is you must not hold on to those originals, because that's acceptance. So you've got to return the originals to the issuer, courtesy copy for your file, and courtesy copy to the court clerk that it was returned to the issuer, delivery confirmation. You don't need a polite letter about it.
Okay.
Hot potato does not say you have to add the skins from another potato.
Yeah. You don't need to talk nice to them. Just send it back to them.
As is.
Okay.
Can I ask Dave a question?
Well, you were the caller that was on before or not?
No, I wasn't on before. I was about potato.
Okay. Well, hang on a second. I've got people in the queue here. I'm trying to work through the queue, unless it's something directly related to what we were just talking about.
Well, I
believe the words are a killer, aren't they?
Yeah. Okay.
Okay. Now, for your situation with what you got there, Dave, do you have a suggestion as to what you might be able to do? Any ideas on something to help get out of that default situation?
I was going to tell her the same thing that you did, only I was going to expand on it to the fact that if she's served certified mail, the tender offer, which she called, or you called, a BPN, if that's a tender offer, then under their code, the offer, tender offered, tender refused, the debt is discharged. Have they have they said they refused to accept whatever that was you said you sent?
Yes.
Then that's your evidence of their refusal. Send them a thank you letter. Thank you for your letter dated so-and-so in which you refused my tender offer of the bonded promissory note or whatever the BPN stands for. And that we agree with you or concur with you that under state of whatever state you're in, code section 3-603, tender offered, tender refused, parentheses, which you have done in parentheses, the debt is discharged. Thank you for your agreement that the debt is discharged pursuant to that state code. Very sincerely yours. Your name.
Okay, now...
In all lowercase.
Okay, I did respond to the attorney saying that, but I did say, you know, I used the word paid instead of discharged.
We'll respond a second time to both the attorney and the car place that hired the attorney.
Yeah.
Okay.
For the lender that the car place...
There is a defaulted suit on file now. See,
well,
I
serve notice to the whatever agency claims they're entitled to benefit from the defaulted suit. Whoever claims they benefited from the defaulted suit, send them a complimentary copy of the thank you letter.
All right.
Send that to, in other words, send that, well, she'd want to send that to the court, wouldn't she?
In addition.
Right.
And to the court. So court, attorney, and Ford.
And the lending company that Ford financed the car through.
Themselves, you know.
Yeah, Ford Motor Credit.
Ford Manufacturing is one thing. Ford Finance is a different company.
Yeah, it's probably
the same
Ford
name,
Motor Credit.
Yeah,
whichever. Leave no stone unturned. If you discover someone else that has a party to the action, send a courtesy copy thank you note to them, too.
So should I send back, even though I didn't do it in a timely fashion, send back the lawsuit, the complaint that they filed against me?
The definition of a contract is the offer, the acceptance of that offer, at which point a contract arises. If you keep it, that's acceptance.
Okay, even
though
I'm
late
in it back.
If you send it back, then there is no acceptance and no contract arises, then there can be no controversy over the non-contract.
Okay, Dave, to clarify on that, I think to help her out, and I think a lot of other people, myself included, ideally, you want to send it back immediately.
Right, ideally.
But if it happens to be 4 or 5 weeks later, you can still do it because you're still eliminating that, correct?
This is my timely response.
And pro tunc?
Hello? Dave?
In the Declaration of Independence, it very clearly says government obtains its just powers with the consent of the governed. If you keep accepting, that's consenting.
I see.
So the sooner you let them know you do not consent and send everything back and not accept, the sooner, the better. But,
and I don't
but there can be a delay for a while and still do it. Or it's not like you have to do it within 14 days or 21 days or something.
The definition of contract and the acceptance does not say except for 21 days or any such limitation.
Right. That's what I want. That's what I'm trying to bring out. I'm trying to bring out that it can be done later. It can be done farther down the line.
Well, as someone said, timely response. This is my timely response. They said you can timely respond within so many days. This is your timely response.
I just received a couple of days ago their filing with the court the request for default judgment. It hasn't been granted yet by the so I can zip that back real quick, huh?
Send it all back. Send the original lawsuit. Send that. Send it all back.
Now, I can't deliver it to the court
no.
personally. Mail it.
I would mail it. get proof. That way you've got proof of it getting there.
Okay.
The court's not going to give you a delivery confirmation. The post office does.
Oh,
right.
I see. Cool.
Certified mail.
All right.
For delivery confirmation.
Registered.
Well, this is great. I thank you so very much.
If you do decide to use delivered certified mail, do not use the green post return receipt postcard. Do not use the green postcard. It costs extra, number one. Number two, you don't need to prove they got it. All you need to prove is you did not keep it.
Okay. So.
And the other thing is you don't need the green card because when it is delivered, if you want to do that, you can go on the USPS.com and look it up and print that proof off there. So you don't need the green card.
Good thinking. I've got green cards galore in my house thing.
Well, by doing that, you're falling into acceptance. The definition of acceptance is if you do anything, such as give your name and address on the back of a green card.
Oh.
If you do anything that's beneficial to some party and detrimental to some other party, you're making appearance in the case as a party to that case.
Oh,
so if you're going to use certified mail, do not use the green post return postcard.
How long have you been studying this to be so top of it? Oh, my gosh.
Well, listen
I began studying under Howard Greswold and Howard Freeman before he passed away. I'm a newcomer. I just started in 1972 when they created the first phony oil shortage, the Arab oil embargo of 1972.
Oh.
And I still go to school every week to learn what the latest, and tune into calls like this to learn what the latest research is.
It's amazing. I'll tell you, I went to a seminar this last weekend here in California with Randy Kelton. Do you know who he is?
I've heard the name.
He's in Texas.
Yeah, Randy Kelton's from Austin.
Right.
Uh-huh.
And he has a marvelous process. It's like a forensic audit of the closing statements. There are so many fraud in the closing statements. It's just a matter of a few cents here, a few cents there, a misstatement here, and he can detect it and file a complaint with that evidence in federal court. It's pretty cool. There's so much to learn, and it's really amazing. I mean, you can be on the phone every night on different calls and learn something every single night, and then putting it all together is another thing.
That's the fun part, is putting it all together.
I appreciate you, Dave. You really do a service to this, and Angela, too, with her wonderful site. So, except I can't get into some of the things because they need passwords. Today I was on her site, and I didn't know what the password was. So
Angela Stark.
Well, I know. No, well, I wrote her. I haven't heard back yet.
But, okay.
To get into Janet's, yeah.
Okay.
Well, I thank you so much. I'll give this. It was just wonderful. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Bye.
Okay, Ali Mohammed, we've got you in there again. I'm going to unmute you here. Go ahead. Well, evidently, went on that.
Okay.
And then, of course, once you get that cleared, then you can get your credit record cleared up.
Or she could do what that other lady did, discharge the note with the BPN, and they have to either accept it or refuse it. And if tender offered, tender refused, the debt is discharged anyway.
Yeah, the only downside, I think, to that would be the fact that then they'd say, okay, well, you paid it now, but it's still going to remain on your credit record for 7 years as a negative item, whereas if you go for the void judgment, and then they're going to have to take everything out of your credit record and then pursue it that way. That's the two sides to the coin I see there.
Well, another situation, I see this thing, I see where a lot of people have did something called a common law copyright on their name, and they have these letters they send out to all three of the credit bureaus that lets them know. I mean, I think that you have to have your name copyrighted for about 30 days, but not regular copyright. It has to be common law, and they pretty much let them know, hey, my name is trademarked, it's copyrighted, common law. I never gave you permission to publish my information publicly. I need you to take all the negative information concerning my name off this credit report, et cetera, et cetera. They have a certain amount of time to respond to you, and if they don't respond, you can sue them.
You get the word copyright confused with the word trademark. Your private personal name is your mark in trade for your personal private business. You cannot copyright your personal private name. Copyright is only for works of art.
Right.
If your name is Mickey Mouse, then you can copyright yourself. Other than that, you cannot do it.
Yeah, there's a lot of misinformation out there about copywriting your name. You cannot do that. It's not a work of art, just like Dave said.
Okay, so it would be the common law trademark then.
Yeah, if you're going to pursue it, you'd have to pursue it on a trademark basis. Copyright won't work.
Okay.
Does that help clarify it for you?
Absolutely.
Okay. All right. Who else has got a question or a comment?
Dave.
All right. Who else has got a question or a comment?
Dave.
Yes. I got to get you closer to that microphone on that phone, though, because we can't hear you.
There you go. How's that?
That's better.
It sounds like you might be interested in doing this, too. If you could just walk me through this sending it back thing. If nothing else, it might buy me a little bit of time. So I'm going to make two copies, send the original back to the lawyer, send...
With you remember, when you get a presentment, a presentment or as a present, you get something in the mail, it's a present, a presentment. You're going to send whatever they sent you, exactly what they sent you, back to them. It's like, oop, this isn't mine. Oh, my God, this is somebody else's mail. I'm going to send this back to you. But before I send it back, I'm going to make two copies just so that I cover myself. And I'm going to keep one of those copies and put it in my file cabinet. And the other copy I'm going to send to the court. Because your situation is in a court deal, you send that to the clerk of the court so that they know that you sent it back. Now, you're not going to send them at the same time. What you're going to do is send the one back to the lawyer, if that's who sent it to you, send it back to them.
No, it's just all I have is what came from the court.
Oh, okay. It's just from the court.
Yes.
That they're saying that there is a motion for default judgment?
No, the summons came.
You're talking that, right? Then you'd send that back. Mm-hmm.
To the court and a copy to the lawyer, the original, what they sent me to the court, and then a copy to the lawyer.
Dave, you want to clarify on that one? Should she send something to the lawyer? Because at that point in time, the lawyer wasn't necessarily involved in communicating with her, so she doesn't need to do that. What would you say is the right way to do that?
This summons was served on you by the court clerk. Am I understanding that correctly?
Right.
It was served by a process server.
Yeah.
Oh, well, that's who you return it to, not the lawyer. Or the court clerk, return it to the process server that sent it to you or served it on you. Then a courtesy copy with the delivery confirmation proof that it was returned to the process server, courtesy copy to the court clerk that it was returned to the process server. Then there is no service of process.
How do I return it to the process server?
In an envelope with a stamp on.
Well, I can't even read his scribbled signature. I don't know who it is.
Who hired the process server?
Well, apparently the court.
Well, call the court and ask him, what's the name of this guy? I can't read his signature.
You took the words right out of my mouth. Yeah, get a hold of the court. Who was it that served this?
And who would give me that information? The clerk?
Court clerk. You go to the court clerk.
Okay.
You know, it was sent to you in the mail, or did somebody come to your door and knock on it and hand it to you?
Knocked on my door and handed it to me.
Okay. That's, go to them. The bottom line, the key to it is whoever gave it to you or sent it to you, whether they handed it to you in person or mailed it to you, that's who you have to get it back to.
Or left it at your house with your wife or your child, or taped on the door, or went to your office or place of work and left it with a secretary. Any form of presentment.
Are they going to be forthcoming with that information, and how will I get his address?
I'm not clairvoyant. If you don't ask, you'll never know, will you?
Well, I'm going to.
Well, yeah. Ask then.
Yeah, just go talk to the clerk of court.
Okay. Thank you.
Should that get you on the track?
Sure does.
Okay.
You're not dealing with honorable people, so do not be surprised if your worst apprehensions come to pass and they are recalcitrant or hesitant to cooperate with you.
Yeah.
Then what would I do in a next case scenario if I can't get his information? What can I do then?
Ask for her boss.
Ask for her boss. Tell him this is public information.
Okay.
The courts
you have a right
are,
to know.
The courts are public. They have that information. That's public information. Tell them you want it. You can't read it. I just need clarification. I can't read this. I don't know who this was. I need to know who this was that brought this to me.
And this court agent's office mailing address.
Uh-huh.
Hmm.
While you're at it, you may as well
ask
both.
Sure. Get as much right there as you can. Absolutely.
Agent's office mailing address.
Yeah. In other words, where you got to mail it back to? You know,
court,
if it's Joe Smith of XYZ Process Service, send it back to Joe Smith at XYZ Process Service at 123 Main Street, Anytown, USA. Just get as much information. When you go to the court, try and get as much information as you can. Say, I need the name and complete address of who the process server was on this.
Okay, that makes sense.
Okay.
Thank you.
Sure. Okay. Looks like Joyce Trist wants to talk again.
Hi again. Actually, she was asking the questions that I was going to ask. And I'm so glad, because I would have sent it back to the attorney, but it's good to know now that I would send it to the process server. And I, too, need to call the court to find out who the process server was, since it's not noted any place.
And his address.
Right, of course. And can I send it together with, even though I received it on a different date, the request for default judgment that was filed by the attorneys?
Did the same process server deliver both?
No.
Then they're separate.
Oh, of course, that's right. But I meant as far as going to the court, giving it back to the court. If I give the...
You're talking sending the copies to the court.
Right.
Could you send them both together?
Yeah.
I don't think there would be a problem with that, or I don't see any reason why that... You're just notifying the court. You're not sending something back to them, so they could be combined, couldn't they? And the mailing to the court?
I'm just wondering if they're going to have this big question mark on their head. Well, why am I getting this?
An opportunity for them to have a question mark?
Yeah.
Are you that broke you can't afford 44-cent stamp?
No.
Send it non-domestic, then. It's only 2 cents per one-half ounce.
No, it's not a matter of the money. I feel like I should just put refused or something.
Well, they're stupid, and why give them an opportunity to play stupid? Why put two different things in the same envelope and expect them to sort out your bungling? Just put the one return notice about the one document in one envelope and put the separate return notice about a separate document in a separate envelope with separate postage.
Very good. And absolutely do not say anything, because...
No.
If you say anything, that's making appearance. You're doing something that's beneficial to somebody and detrimental to somebody, and you're making appearance by doing that. If it ain't neutral, it's beneficial to somebody.
You're so clear about this. It's wonderful.
Yeah. Confident.
Thank you for your contribution tonight. Thank you. Okay. That's it.
Okay. Good deal. All right.
How long do you have to return the documents?
Pardon?
How long do you have to return the documents?
We talked about that earlier. Send them back. Ideally, you want to send... Well, hang on a second. Ideally, you want to do it immediately. But if it's been a while, as long as you keep it, then you're in acceptance, aren't you? Who's there? There's nothing in there that says that there's a 21-day deadline or a 17 or a 13 or a 31. In other words, you should have said something back, send it back. I don't know how well it's going to work if you're talking 6 months or a year ago, but...
Why chance it? Why chance it? Why procrastinate and postpone and run your risks? The sooner you get it rid of that hot potato, the sooner you're not in acceptance. And that's the certified mail proof that there is no contract because of your non-acceptance, and you've got the certified mail or the delivery confirmation number to prove it.
Yeah,
and since you made a photocopy and sent a courtesy copy to the court clerk, they know it too. So the sooner you do it, the sooner the court clerk will know.
Yeah, I think possibly the question there might have been, you know, somebody wondering, I got something, you know, a month and a half ago. Is it too late for me to send it back?
One of the testimonials in our home study course is about this family whose home was about to be foreclosed on, sold at sale by the Internal Revenue Service. Income tax is collected under a process called voluntary compliance. Once you volunteer into Internal Revenue Service's internal contract, you must comply with the terms of the contract. They had 7 years of papers and letters and notices back and forth with different IRS offices. They sent all of the documents that they had received from Office A of Internal Revenue Service back to Office A, and those documents were listed on the neutral response letter, which the titles of the documents being returned were itemized. They sent all the documents from Internal Revenue that they had received from Office B back returned to Office B. Delivery confirmation. And all the other documents they had received from Internal Revenue Service Office C, they returned delivery confirmation to IRS Office C. And the wife did not believe, she did not have confidence, and she did not believe that this would accomplish anything. And she nagged her husband, and he finally went down to the court clerk and asked about the pending threat of sale by the Internal Revenue Service based on these liens and levies. And the husband was informed that the IRS had removed all the liens and levies, and there was no further activity about the sale of their home. Because they had sent everything back, proof, delivery confirmation, or certified mail one way without the green postcard, that was evidence of their intent to not continue to volunteer into the regulated enterprise called Internal Revenue under the voluntary compliance doctrine. They were exhibiting their intent to not further volunteer to comply. So the Internal Revenue Service had to discontinue their ongoing fraudulent activities.
And what about if they sell your property?
The point there is that these people had documents that went back 7 years, and they sent 7 years worth of paperwork back, and it stopped everything. That's it right there.
But if they've already stolen your property,
that's a whole different story. That's a whole different story because you had given them consent. Unfortunately.
No,
right.
Well,
they had guns.
They had guns only because you gave them consent, because you didn't send the stuff back and let them know that you weren't contracting with them.
The consent gave them the contract, and the contract is what authorized them to bring the guns. They thought.
There you go.
No, I'm talking about Children's Services case.
Well, same thing. If you keep something, then you're creating a contract.
No, I never kept anything.
Did you send all the documents back, like Dave has talked about, in the way he
yes,
explained?
Yes, I did, and I still kept the property, the child.
Well, okay, but you have another issue there. When you got married, you applied for your marriage license. You gave them ownership. You what?
I wasn't married.
You weren't married, okay.
But did you get a birth certificate when the child was born?
Unfortunately.
Well, unfortunately, that's where they got the contract.
That's it.
That's where the state obtained an interest in the child, because the hospitals are licensed, and if they did not trick people into that, the state would revoke their corporate hospital license to do business.
Mm-hmm.
See, that's just one of so many different avenues where they get you.
That's the reason the car dealers steal your ownership, by stealing your manufacturer's statement of origin from the General Motors Corporation or the whatever brand car you got.
Ford or whatever.
If they don't do that and comply with the state's thievery and turn your ownership evidence, manufacturer's certificate of origin, over to the state's motor vehicle department, they will lose their license to be a dealer, a new car dealer, in that state.
Gotcha.
They like to use that hammer.
It's,
and they got so many different ways.
Contract, contract, contract. Everything with corporations is contract.
Mm-hmm.
So, quick question if I could throw in. I don't want to kick the lady off. Do you mind?
No, you're fine.
Okay. So I sent it back to the court, and they have it in their hands before my deadline to respond. Should that stop them from putting
If you send it back, it cancels everything. Period.
Well, in our minds, but in their minds also?
Under the due process, they must comply with the written notice requirement of due process. If they didn't think they had to do that, they wouldn't bother with having a trial. They would just come out, as they do in communist countries, and take you to jail without the benefit of a trial.
Okay, and what about taking it in and just laying it on the desk and walking out?
You have no proof that you did it.
I was just going to say, you got proof that you took it there? No.
No.
That's why you use the mail.
Okay, that answers that.
The postman can give you proof of their receiving it, of you sending it.
And how do I verify what was in it? Just my word on the...
If you really want to get down to that, you can use a independent party certificate of service, a statement.
Just put on the envelope a statement that says third party affidavit of mailing, so that the receiving party will presume you have a sworn affidavit from some third party, your secretary or your postal clerk, who put the documents being returned for you into the envelope for you, and the third party went down to the post office with your document-filled envelope, and they put the postage on the envelope, and they put it into the mail stream by handing the postage-added envelope, document-filled postage-added envelope, to the postal clerk and got it canceled there at the desk. And then they gave you a sworn affidavit that they took the documents, put them in the envelope, put the postage on, handed the envelope to the postal clerk.
So just make a note on the outside of the envelope that says...
Yes, that scares these lying, thieving, cheating pirates.
But I don't have to have the actual affidavit on there, just a note that says third-party certificate of mailing.
That's right. Or you could use the wording from the neutral response out of our initial information package if you wanted to make an itemized list of the documents being returned.
And that would be included inside the envelope.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, you would not scotch tape it to the outside, of course.
No.
I just need to be perfectly clear, that's all. Well, this will be... I think I'm going to do this.
I think you should do it.
I'm going to do it. And since it came from the process server, I just get it to the process server and then a copy to the court. Keep a copy for myself.
That's right.
Well, the delivery confirmation stub will show that it was returned to the process server.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Sounds like a slam dunk.
Okay, who else has got a comment or a question? Gee, I don't have anybody stepping up.
Well, I can answer an unasked question. The thing we teach at peoples-rights.com is the same thing that the Bible teaches, which is, number one, come out from the whore of fiction Babylon. The Bible doesn't put it in those exact words, but we take poetic license. The second thing the Bible says is, be not a partaker, or in yours, in my case, a continuing or ongoing partaker with them in their sins and frauds, them being the evil ones or Canaanites. The third thing the Bible says is, do not go make new covenants and agreements with these evil ones for Howard Griswold or Dave DeRemer to have to get you out of in the future. Stop going and making new problems by signing applications. And we try to teach people to dispose of these matters at the post office clerk's window and stay out of court. But other people seem to prefer going in and quibbling with the madams about the bedsheets, colors in the whorehouse, and that's not what we teach, but they seem to want to continue to do it.
Well, the KISS principle fits real well, doesn't it? Keep it sweet and simple.
Yes, and I'm all for that because I am so stressed out about this, and this is just seems like it's something worthwhile.
Well, it's very simple. The definition of a contract is the offer, the acceptance of the offer, at which point in time a contract arises by operation of law, and the offeror can no longer withdraw the offer. Both parties are held to specific performance of the terms of the offer, now a contract agreement. And the third item is the consideration of value, which there is none of. So because there is no consideration of value available, all there is private IOU notes of debt. That's why there are no contracts. Everything today is an agreement, and all the agreements are under the plan. And the plan is the bankruptcy of the United States, and that's why everything is, as people keep saying, prepaid, because when Congress took away the actual specie coin in 1933, it had to offer a remedy, and the remedy was H.J.R. 192, in which Congress said, well, we're taking away all the gold and silver coin, but you can send your claims of debt to the not the treasurer, the guy that does the accounting for the treasurer. Well, not the auditor.
The comptroller.
That's the name. Comptroller. And he will discharge those claims of debt for you. And that's what Howard Griswold's document does. The document titled the Security Agreement Indemnity Bond Financing Statement, which is one of the information packages, 48-page information, educational data, 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 data package, which includes questionnaire blanks for people to fill in and mail in to Howard. It's titled the Security Agreement Indemnity Bond Financing Statement Document, But we recommend people to get the initial information package first, or at least at the same time they get that information about the security agreement and indemnity bond financing statement. Once that document is recorded where the law says it's to be recorded, which is the state's Secretary of State's office at the UCC desk, you then will be the secured party and creditor, and you will not only have a perfected claim of interest, but you will have a priority perfected claim of interest, and at that point you have the legal position or standing, what they call in law standing, to terminate the registrations, such as the registration of your marriage if you had been foolish enough to apply for a marriage license, and to terminate the birth certificate if you had been foolish enough to allow them to extort a request for a baby's birth certificate from the state's vital statistics department, or your ownership document of your automobile, which had been extorted or tricked from you by the automobile new car dealership, or your land deed, which was you were tricked out of by allowing your deed to be recorded into the public property records without you being paid the just compensation that's required. Anyway, you can terminate all these registrations and anything else. If you registered your dog or your computer tower or anything else of your private property that you got tricked into registering, you can terminate all those registrations of private property with a affidavit of commercial notice based upon the recorded security agreement indemnity bond financing statement as drawn for you by Howard Griswold based upon the answers you give him in the questionnaire blanks. The second thing after this document's recorded, people can discharge claims of debt. Debt. And they can assign an interest out of their indemnity bond, in which the old capital letter name dummy that Congress created, it owes you back for any monies that you may be called upon to expend on the old capital letter name behalf. So instead of you sending them a bank check, which assigns them an interest out of your checking account, you send them Howard's assignment of partial interest out of the indemnity bond, which assigns them an interest out of Congress's account that Congress had to set up for you under H.J.R. 182. And you, instead of sending a bank check, you send them this statement of assignment of partial interest out of the indemnity bond and discharge public claims of debt, like land taxes and any other public claims of debt. And I can guarantee you personally that it works, because I had a massive stroke in 2002, and they sent me all kinds of humongous hospital bills and medical bills and therapy bills and all kind of bills. And I got every one of those claims of debt that were all sent to the all capital letter name dummy corporation. And I discharged those claims with a assignment of partial interest based upon the recorded security agreement indemnity bond financing statement that was drawn for me by Howard Griswold. So I can give you personal testimonial. It works. Those bills added up to around $42,000 or $43,000, so that, which I did not happen to have laying around handy in petty cash at the time. And not to belabor the point, but my wife had to keep up, right? She went and had a stroke this year, April 16th. Living with me was too much stress, I guess. Anyway,
I'm sorry.
We had all those hospital bills and therapy bills and medical bills, and which are naturally ongoing. And we have so far to date discharged all of them with different assignments of partial interest out of the indemnity bond, because BNSC was listed as one of the collateral property on my security agreement. She was my slave, so I was the master, and I was responsible for her debts, so they sent the debts to her name, and I discharged them all with my assignment of partial interest out of my indemnity bond. and it works. Absolutely does work.
Do you have other any other examples of success?
Where I've personally had successes or other people that have had successes?
Other people.
Yes, there are many, many people that Howard has drawn documents for. I don't have a list of all Howard's people that he's drawn documents for, but he said absolutely nobody has been investigated or put in jail since he started drawing these documents in the year 2000. Nobody's been investigated or sent to jail, and this is, what, 2010? So it's over 10 years with no negative side effects or...
And this is Howard who?
Griswold, the guy that will be creating the documents when you send in the questionnaire blanks that are in that 48-page information package titled the Security Agreement Indemnity Bond Financing Statement.
Okay, you're talking about the packet. Okay, all righty. The Freedom Doc thing, right?
Just go to the website, www.peoples-rights.com, and print out the mail order page, this 48-page data package with questionnaire blanks is listed there for a donation to reimburse for the photocopy costs and postage costs to get this information out to people.
Okay.
All righty. It is 11:47 p.m. on Monday night, August 9th, almost 10th. And I think we're going to call it a wrap for tonight. I'd like to thank Dave and everybody else that's been on the call tonight. I think we've had some very, very, very good discussion and got a lot of information out tonight. And I would venture a guess that we helped at least one person tonight. And if we helped at least one person tonight, then this call was successful.
That would be me.
And, well, great, there's a testimonial. And if we have helped more than one person tonight, this has been wildly successful.
Hey, Dave.
And that's what it's all about. It's about helping people. It's about you. And I want to thank you. I appreciate everybody's participation. It's been another wonderful Monday evening. I draw a lot of energy from all of you out there. And I love doing this. And I will be back next week and hope you will too. And if you know somebody else that might be able to benefit from what we're doing, or if they may have some good things to bring to the table to share that would be beneficial for other people listening, please ask them to come and join us. Because this is a community. It's just a platform for us all to help each other.
Dave, before you go, this is Lynn. People's Rights, what was that website again?
People's?
peoples-rights, peoples-rights.com. Rights, the opposite of wrongs, are rights.
It's R-I-G-H-T-S. I just went there and I'm not getting anything.
Yeah, me neither. On the mail order page, it's like blank with a lot of circles.
Are you using Firefox or Safari?
Yeah.
I'm using Firefox and I also tried it in Google Chrome.
Well, you don't need to go through Google to get to People's Rights. Just instead of going to Google, just type directly into the bar.
Right.
www.peoples-rights.com. You don't need to go to Google to get to People's Rights. You've already got it.
I was using the browser Google Chrome, and I used the browser Mozilla Firefox.
Yeah, well, those are the ones that do not work.
Yeah, Firefox won't work with it.
Yeah.
And Safari
Internet Explorer.
No problem with Internet Explorer.
Yeah, your only problem while you're not getting there is your browser. Use IE on those.
Okay.
Dave.
Yes.
What's a TRO?
Temporary Restraining Order.
Oh, thank you.
You're welcome.
Help.
Okay. As I said, we're going to wrap this up tonight. I appreciate everybody being here. Thank you so much. I'll see you next Monday night. I hope everybody has an absolutely fabulous week.